2024 is here. Happy New Year. 2024 is here. The crack man is not here next to me, but he is available via Zoom from the comfort of his own home.
Getting the cough drops.
I like it. You're a little under the weather.
Cough drops.
What is that?
Apple cider vinegar shots.
Really?
It's tough to do. The Bragg's apple cider vinegar is really good, though. I do a shot. I try to do a shot every day.
Right.
So I know you have to mix it with water, or else you'll burn your esophagus and burn your and do away with your tooth enamel. So
really,
yeah, but it's really good for you.
Okay.
And listen, something's kept me pretty healthy for the last 5 years without getting a cold.
Yeah.
But now I have an inner ear infection, and I say something. I take a fistful of vitamin. I mean, just look at this. If you guys want to see this, this is unbelievable. I wasn't planning to show anyone this, but just look, this is all vitamins.
Come on. That's sick. What you take like every morning?
Yeah, every day. Every day.
Come on. There's 40 pills there.
No, I take 18 pills a day.
Wait. Bring that back. Can you read them off? What are you doing? 18 pills a day?
This is cinnamon. This is Omega Plus, which is unbelievable.
Okay.
More apple cider vinegar.
Right, because the shot wasn't enough. All right.
Right. Magnesium.
Yeah.
I take a vegetable and a fruit caplet.
Okay.
A vegetable and a fruit one. What is this? Quercetin. I swear by this.
What is that?
Quercetin is a real good. It's good for your immune system. It builds up. Your immune system. What is this? Oh, this is the Bragg stuff. Just to let you know, Bragg, they have the good stuff. Hold on, I got zinc.
Zinc. I take zinc. Okay, I'll go one for 18.
Vitamin C, vitamin D, D3.
You know, crack. I don't know if you know, they make this thing called the multivitamin. I don't know if you've ever heard. It's like all of them into one pill. What do you think?
No, I know.
No, you want to try?
I actually follow someone's. Someone that told me to take a lot of these things, but I've been taking them for, by the way, 2 decades.
Okay.
And I have a great cardiologist that I love that tells me I'm just making expensive urine.
Right.
And, but I have another doctor that I kind of really, I kind of go by a lot of things he says. And listen, maybe it's just a mental thing.
It's working, but it's working. So you can't argue with that.
I haven't had COVID. I've never had a cold for 5 years. I think I'm peeing green, but that's okay. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. I like it. You're from the don't fix it if it ain't broke school. I like that school.
But I am under the weather right now.
Yeah.
Due to some poker players. Going to this week's matchups, there's some situations this week, John, that are unique. In other words, who's going to play? So Philadelphia, as long as Washington wins, so long as Dallas wins, Philadelphia's probably going to rest all their starters. So if they see Dallas go right out ahead 14-0, 21-0, they're probably only going to play their starters one rep in the first quarter or something to keep them a little fresh, Philadelphia. So could be good situations in the second half there to maybe bet. I'll even look at a more of a market, like a third and fourth quarter market on certain teams. That they're going to just want to get out of there and go home and not, not have anyone hurt. And then there's some teams that just don't want to be there anyway. So maybe like Washington, they just want to go home. I mean, they don't want to even be on the field. But there's other situations that are very unique too. I can actually pull them up. I have my screen up here just to pull up someone to just minimize you guys and pull up my Don Best screen, which is my odds screen. Week 18 usually has a lot of situations. They don't have as many as normal, but there is some situations here this week. I told you the Dallas. What's the Rams? Yeah, the Rams, San Fran. This is an interesting one, too. Don't think that these teams don't want to just – they're both in the playoffs. They want to just go home after this game. And, of course, you want to stay in shape. San Fran wants to keep some of their players in shape. So they're probably going to play first half. I got to play at least the first quarter. But the second half, I would look more towards under on the third and fourth quarter. Now, it's baked in the line sometimes, but not so much the quarters. So there's some nuggets of wisdom. And guess what, guys? There's even more down the schedule, but not as many as normal. So there's a couple things you guys can look at there for third and fourth quarter betting. And there's a couple must-win situations. But there's some good stuff there.
Yeah, that's great stuff. George, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, yeah. How do you feel about must-win situations? Is it something that you kind of want to avoid? Like, for example, you got the Texans taking on the Colts. The Texans just came off a really big win. I'm feeling confident on them. They opened up at -1. It just seems like whenever a team, though, is in a situation where either one can win, I mean, is it better to take a point, or is it better to just kind of avoid these games?
Listen, the Texans are let me see. What'd you say it opened up? I thought it opened up 2 the other way.
I was just looking. I was looking at my bookie AG. I may have said it opened at it, but what I'm currently looking at is -1 Texans.
Yeah, no. This game is a Saturday game, by the way, which of course everyone's going to have action on the two games on Saturday: Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Houston, Indianapolis. I'm looking at
total
possibly
seems high for a game that means a lot.
And you know what? You're right. The
47
total
and a half
seems high, but I'm not. Trust me, I'm not betting on that on over under because anything can happen with these two. You know, offensive teams, Houston can go off too. It is a high total compared to the rest of the totals in the week, though. But no, this game opened up Indy -2, quickly went to Houston -1. Houston is the darling of the NFL. Every week they get bet normally a day of the game. But this is a unique situation. I'll be staying off this game situationally as of right now. I do like under on a couple of the games because of weather or because of just teams wanting to slow the games down. But I haven't really done too much yet, though. But good idea bringing it up, George. Oh, so I had some guys in town, and they said to me, hey, so this is a client of mine. He's a good guy. And once a year I go visit him when he comes in town. And he was at the Bellagio with a couple of his friends. He says, can you come down to Bellagio and hang out with us for a game? And I really don't get in large groups a lot of times. It's just not something I do. And it could be being the germ phobe I am. I'm always carrying sanitizer. You know, John, you've seen me in the studio.
Yeah.
Always wash my hands multiple times. My fingerprints are gone. but yeah. So, so I went there with him and he was playing poker and he's like, come on, join in, get in the game with us. So we're playing some limit poker, just fooling around. I wound up staying 5 hours. And I caught this Vegas bird flu, whatever it is.
Yep.
You know,
did you win any money?
No, I lost $800.
Damn. Yeah.
Lost $800. Got sick, but I'm on some good. I'm on some good things here.
Limit poker is kind of an oxymoron statement because limit poker, the pots are pretty much bigger than they are in no limit, right?
Well, we were playing. I was playing 20-40. Then I went to 40-80.
Yeah.
So really, $800 is a pot.
Right. Where like if you play on a 1-3 no limit game, a pot can be 40 to 100. I mean, sometimes it's more, but it's not $800 right. Every pot. Not even close.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it could not even be close. You're exactly right. But it was a fun time. But I have it's an inner ear infection, so I'm not really sick, just an inner ear. I just didn't want to come in. And
yeah.
I don't know. I did some research on it, and I just didn't want to come in and make it any worse. So I stay home a couple of days and get over this and just keep on drinking apple cider vinegar till my teeth turn apple cider vinegar color.
I was going to save this for the end of the show and close with it, but since you've brought up poker, I think it's a natural segue for us to go over to George Carmona, who completed another movie homework assignment. He watched Rounders.
Rounders was watched.
And then you said you ate some edibles and you needed to watch the last 20 minutes again. Did you do that?
I didn't, but I got a good summarization.
Oh, I don't know, man.
Listen, no, because trust me, I knew where it was going. I loved it for the sole fact of... It definitely highlights like gambling addiction at its finest.
Yeah.
And it motivated me to put down big plays over the holiday break in which I lost every single one of them. But it's that feeling that you get where it's like on any given night, you can just go steal people's money. And the thing that I need to experience to like truly get the feel is like, I got to go see gambling like underground the way that they were playing those poker games.
Yeah.
Because when I've lived in Vegas my whole life, so like I don't know necessarily the whole underground feel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you ever played in an underground?
In LA, for sure. Yeah. Yeah,
crack,
it's definitely
different.
Crack
has.
Yeah.
I've never told you that, but you're absolutely right. I mean, I used to play, in New York growing up. Oh, my God, I played in so many when I was a kid. Then I played in organized, if that makes any sense, organized underground games, where they're actually weekly games in Chelsea on 27th and Park. There was a game in Manhattan. There was, like, one thing called PlayStation. There was a Diamond Club. There were so many different clubs in New York you could play in. Where they supply all the food and you just pay a time, not a rake out of each pot. Though they did have that too in certain situations. But yeah, that's where I made a lot of connections, to be honest with you, back then. That's in my early 20s, late teens. Yeah.
But now, George, you make me nervous about the last 20 minutes, because specifically the last 10 minutes of Rounders is the money shot. Like, so I'm curious, can you appreciate the line at the end of, "He beat me straight up. Pay him. Pay that man his money." Does that even speak to you? I don't feel like that speaks to you. Listen to me. You got to rewatch the last 20 minutes.
Okay. I will. I'll go back. I'll rewatch the last 20 minutes.
KGB,
I
if you're not wanting to walk around quoting too. KGB lines, you did it wrong.
There was just like a piece of me. So like, this is why I love Uncut Gems. Uncut Gems, sports gambling, I fucking felt it. I've never played a poker game in my life.
Right.
So for me, I'm like somewhat disconnected. Maybe
I gotta go play
a little poker.
Okay.
You know?
Well, I think we should make that a little homework assignment. Let's do it. I'm
George
in.
George has got to go play poker
next. I'll fund it. Let's go.
Let's go. I will. I'll rewatch it and I'll check and see if anybody's eating Oreos.
I like it. So on a scale of 1 to 10, being a non-poker player, I'll go easy on you, because I do think that's a valid point. But what would you give?
I think this is an 8.75.
Really?
I liked it better than Goodfellas.
Wow. Oh my God! I'm not mad at you.
Just because the story was like very understandable. Goodfellas was kind of all over the place, but like it pieces together at the end. Rounders, you know, from minute 7 what's happening throughout the whole movie. So that was cool.
Do you know what I did New Year's Eve, George?
What'd you do?
I stayed home and I watched Rounders. True story.
Wow. I thought you just watched your TV's like loading screen.
I did. I was watching the loading. I was playing chess online. And I look up and the screensaver was on my TV and it was fireworks. And I like posted that I was watching fireworks. I don't know. Silly. I was just a little loopy. No,
and I really do like Rounders also. I don't put it up past Goodfellas, but I do. It's up there in my top 10 movies. It's a great movie. And only because it's representative of what the underground poker scene was in Manhattan back then. And, there's still underground games, of course, but now that Atlantic City opened up and New York has gambling now, you could play online and stuff. It's not as prevalent as it was back then, and it's not as mysterious as it was back then when I played in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s. I played at it's funny. I played in Brooklyn on 7th Avenue. It was above a Petland Discounts, which was a pet food store. And I used to play on Thursdays once in a while. I would go. It's right over the bridge there. I'm just trying to think that doesn't matter, the street anyway. So I played and over the Verrazano and I was the only, like, there was two of us. There was two guys. My friend brought me in, who was a Jewish kid. He brought me in, but I had no idea it was going to be amongst all Hasidic Jews. So Now I had like 5 Hasidic guys in the game. I don't know why they couldn't get the word William out. They called me William with a V. William, you.
William.
You, William.
William.
Yeah. And you want to know something? Some of the greatest games, that they were so aggressive. They would straddle. They would bet without looking and straddle, and so aggressive. That was some great. I tell you what, if you do Google searches, my name with poker, that was some of my first bankroll.
Really?
Came from poker in the early 90s, mid 90s, even late 90s, when you know, people just didn't know how to play the game. They didn't know pot odds. They didn't know applied measures. They didn't know. And not that I was great in that, but you didn't have to be great in the 90s. So
do I need to look that up if I did as Bill Krakenberger or William?
Yeah.
Wilhelm.
Either. William.
William with a V. Bill, we should talk a little NFL. Oh, what were you going
to
say?
Oh, last thing, because I think this is a question that both of you would be able to understand.
Yeah.
The love interest that happened in Rounders.
Yes.
How can a gambling man be with a woman who doesn't understand gambling?
I'm with one.
And if so,
I'm 100% with one.
Wait, John, you're with one that doesn't understand gambling?
Doesn't understand. Am I assuming she doesn't know how to play blackjack?
Doesn't appreciate the ability to, you know,
grind and make work hours.
No, yeah, she appreciates that. She understands.
Okay.
She does. She gives me zero grief.
You get called out to go with Dana for a couple hours. She doesn't say, oh, you're leaving me.
No way. She says, go.
So then the answer is that's not the answer then. You're,
okay.
You're
I thought you meant someone that didn't understand like how to play blackjack or something like that.
It's the other variables, the other moving parts.
Got it.
Knowing I have to go out, like, you know, my wife, knowing that, that, you know, when my wife used to work, she would come home at, you know, 5:30 at night, 6 o'clock at night, asking, how was your day? And, you know, that doesn't fly.
Right.
5 o'clock at night, I'm betting halftime. 6 o'clock, I'm betting NBA halftime. Now, I don't do that anymore per se, but that's what I used to do a lot back when we were poor. Let's face it. I was a grinder. My wife and I had one car between us. You know, she's been with me through thick and thin.
Yeah. And that question also, you don't really want to ask, like, just let us report back to you, right? The good news. Wouldn't you prefer that? Like, I'll let you know when it was good. Let's just not talk about it. You don't mind.
I could call my wife here right now. She never once has been told, I'm doing good this week. I'm having a good week. I'm having a winning week. I'm having a losing week. That's not.
It doesn't matter.
Fly with me,
right?
It doesn't matter because in the end, I know I win.
You'll get yours, right?
I know that they crush them in college football,
right?
You know, preseason football. I know I'm going to win, but I'm going to have losing weeks and maybe even a losing month or two. So, why would you tell your wife any of the moving parts and moving pieces and let her have to worry about things?
Right?
I got enough things to worry about. I have to win my money twice. Sometimes. Three times.
How do you mean?
Imagine that.
How do you mean?
I'm going to explain it. Now I have to win. Now I have to hope the sports book I play with doesn't get mad at me and throw me out or not pay me. And thirdly, I have to actually get paid the money. You have to, when the money's in my hand, that's when I officially win. Because I don't do typical betting when I bet something plus four and it closes plus four. I bet something plus four, it closes three or it closes two. Some of these sports books take it personal and take it like you're getting information ahead of them and they'll throw you out and they'll listen. I'm going through something right now that's unbelievable.
Really?
I had a text from my prop guy that said, hey, you should bet this correlation. He said, there's a real good correlation at one of the sports books in town here. And you could bet a same game parlay, which is normally a sucker bet. He said, you could bet a same game parlay though. And on the same game parlay, this guy's only going to get a few minutes. Now, he didn't tell me that till after I bet. So after I bet that, he said, you know, and I'll even read you what it says. So you could bet bridges under everything, field goals, rebounds, assists, points. Now, so I figured he's only going to get a couple minutes. I tried to bet my average bet. They turned it down and only gave me $200. I said, okay, there must be something wrong. I said, all right, $200 at 6.5 to 1. I pushed a button, didn't think much of it. And next thing I know, the guy only played a couple of minutes. So by him playing a couple of minutes, I actually won the 6.5 to 1. I won $1,300. Didn't really think much of it. And then he sent me a text then a little bit later saying, Brooklyn is sitting a lot of their starters. He's playing because he has a 400-game consecutive game streak or something like that. But there's speculation he may play just a little bit in this one. So it was a speculation thing. The sports book got mad at me. They paid me. And now my account's suspended to only $100 maximum.
Come on.
So because I had information ahead of them, they're penalizing me. Now, the information I hear, now I find out it was on the internet and it was on different forums. And, you know, honestly, I wouldn't even have bet it then because the sports book's good to me, you know, but it's not my fault. They didn't take the bet down. I shouldn't have to play God or the bookmaker for them, but they're a real good. I only give this place top billing. I talk about them good on every show I do. I talk about all the perks of being playing with them. I talk about their staff. I'm not doing it just to bullshit. I talk about their staff because their staff's that good at the counter. So I'm very upset about this.
So what do you do with that? Do you try to go?
Listen,
meet with them,
honestly,
or
John? No one will meet you in person. No. There's no one that's going to show you to your face to make a decision. It's very unfair.
This is a place here in town, or this is online?
Yes.
Here in town.
And you want to know something, John? Here's the bad thing, too, is that, you know, when they do this type of thing, don't they realize everyone beards in anyway?
Right.
So now, instead of playing under Bill Krakenberger's name, I'm going to play under John Orlando's name.
Right.
Everyone does it. I know it's bad to say, don't talk about this, Bill.
But everyone does it. It's silly to think it's not happening.
So now it's going to cost them a sign-up bonus. It's going to cost them money going, bonus money and things going in.
Yeah.
And you're not going to look at the account right away to see sharp information come in. So you're not going to know you should move your lines right away because Bill Krakenberger's betting.
Right.
Because when they see John Orlando betting, they don't know his history. they won't move it. Nothing to do with you. It could be anybody.
Yeah.
They don't know your history. So now they have to wait to catch on. This guy's pretty sharp. The lines move after he bets. I just wish they would, you know, just don't penalize the player for their lack of knowledge of situational things. And everyone that bets in the world, everyone, when they make a bet, they think they know more than the sports book. That's the reason why they're betting. They get to choose any game they want. And for that, they pay 11 to 10. So why should I have to pay a penalty of being thrown out or limited because of my knowledge? Because I'm doing what everyone else does, just trying to gain knowledge on the sports book. They all think they know something too when they make a bet. Oh, this team's going to kill this team. Oh, this guy's not going to score this many points. It's not fair.
I agree. I think it's crazy. You're either in the business or you're not. You either take the action or you don't. I mean, casinos' standpoint should be, we take all comers, right? If you got money, you want to bet, come bet. That's what we do.
It's just not the way they do it.
Yeah.
There's only a few in town.
Okay.
That just takes your bets on.
Let's talk a little NFL, but before we do so, I must give a shout out, Bill. I don't know if you're aware of this, but you know, George Carmona right here organizes the annual Gridiron Junkies Fantasy Football League.
Correct.
Which I participated in this year, Bill, and I came... how many people were in that?
We had a 14-person league.
14. I think I came in 11th or 12th. But I wanted to give a special shout-out, Bill, to George's fiance, right? Fiance?
Correct.
George's fiance won it all. Cameron.
Yeah.
Killed all the boys. 13 guys and one girl, and she annihilated all of us. I want to say she pretty much went wire to wire.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's back-to-back years where she won the title, or she was in the championship game. She lost it last year. I mean, she's trying to do things that are just, you know, revolutionary in the sense that we see all these trans athletes, the men going into women's sports. Now we have a woman who is a biological female going into a man's world and dominating back-to-back years, proving that just like how we shouldn't see color, we shouldn't see gender either.
I like that. I like that. So shout out to Cameron for taking down the Super Bowl of Gridiron Junkies.
Why'd you
fantasy.
Leave the group chat? Why'd you, John left
I
the
I did
group
it for
chat.
Comedic purposes. I thought it was just kind of funny. I was like, F this, F that, John, I'm out. And then I left the group chat. But then Madison brought me back in.
Yes. Yeah. Here, I'll pull up John. He said, oh, he said, fuck fantasy football. Fuck football. Fuck this league. And for those reasons, I'm out. He left. And then he got brought back in.
Yeah, I got brought back in. That was a Shark Tank reference. You know, for those reasons, I'm out. Bill, do you watch Shark Tank?
I do. I mean, I can't watch nothing during football basketball season, but right. Rarely I can watch it. I would like to watch Shark. There would only be a couple shows I would watch. I can't watch nothing that's fictional. I have to watch right. something like
documentary.
Yeah, documentary or Shark Tank is a good one though.
Okay, so NFL talk. Where are we at, guys? Do we believe in the Cowboys? Let's start with that.
It's a shame that you know, John, early in the season, if you remember, I said this is back in like week 5 on our show. I actually said that Philadelphia is just, I know they're rolling, but
you said they were frauds. Yeah, you said it.
Like I called, all year long, I said it. I said Dallas is a good pick for the division back when they were literally plus 175. Then they were plus 2.5 to 1. Well, then, of course, Dallas started falling apart. So at one time, Dallas was, I think, almost 5 to 1. Might have been more because of situational that Dallas had to have some miracles and Philadelphia had to have some miracles against them. The miracle happened, and that came in the form of Arizona beating Philadelphia last weekend. And Dallas, you know, now getting a miracle win against Detroit and now controlling their own destiny for the division. If they win versus Washington, which Washington has gave up for the season, they already have golf tee times. They're ready to go, you know, hang out with their families and friends. And so Dallas is going to be the NFC division champ there. The division champ, I should say. So, yeah, it was a good bet. And then, you know, the Eagles have proved what I said. I don't think Dallas is going to go far in the playoffs, but they should win the division. I mean, you watched the Detroit game, right? I mean,
yeah.
Jesus, they didn't do nothing special there. So, but hey, congratulations to Dallas. They deserve I see the helmet behind you, and congratulations to them.
What do you make of a lot of people claiming it's rigged? The NFL wanted the Cowboys in there over the Lions, so they came up with this bullshit call towards the end. What are your thoughts?
I haven't really heard that yet, but you know what I think about people that say football's fixed and rigged. Not that I think about them. I just, you know, they look at football from the way they bet it. But guess what? This season, I understand you guys out there more why you would think that. There's a lot of stuff going on. Things are supposed to be advanced with instant replay and booth reviews and stuff. It seems like we went backwards. So I understand
my whole take is if they were going to fix a game, they're not doing it waiting for the last play of the game on a 2-point conversion. They're going to be calling holding all throughout the game, pass interference calls. They're going to punish the team that they want to lose throughout the entire game to make it get so they can get the result they want, if that's the case. So if it was fixed, you would have seen the Lions getting, it would have been holding every play, you know, for Dallas's favor. So it just doesn't make any sense to me. George, do you agree with that?
I got fucked over, okay? That was literal.
George, stop. Stop cursing. Stop using the F word.
I got freaking robbed, brother. It sucked knowing that a minute and 15 seconds went by before they decided to throw the penalty. That is extremely suspicious. It reminds me a lot of the Saints in the 2019 NFC Championship in which...
Oh, that shirt you have on. Yeah.
You know, hey, we still have a chance, baby. You know, who dat? Who dat nation? So with all that being said, I think this leads to an NFL rule change. I think... it'll no longer be the player that has to report. I think the coach should tell the line judge.
I agree.
So, and then they wear these fucking earpieces for what reason? For that exact moment.
Right.
Tell the white hat he's eligible.
Yeah.
Why are you making a player who has had 47 concussions in the last 2 hours?
Yeah, I agree. It's crazy.
Report? It's
I agree.
Stupid.
That doesn't make any sense. I actually would have assumed... I didn't realize that was the rule. I actually figured the coach would say that just like in baseball. Like if you're doing a substitution,
right?
You know, the manager comes out, he pulls the pitcher.
That's what is the coach for? Do we need coaches?
Run the team, run the game, right? Yeah.
So, John, why does George disrespect me?
What do you mean?
He used the F word again after I told him not to. No, listen.
He's Cuban.
I said friggin'.
I curse. You missed it. See, it's so much part of your repertoire.
It's part of the repertoire.
Yeah. You know, I curse, though. Trust me, I curse. But I try not to curse on the air a lot. But
really?
Yeah, once in a while, I do.
Well, because you're on Fox a lot. You're on Fox. Yeah, no, you're not allowed to.
There. Yeah. But I just don't like to curse. It just doesn't look on the air. John, I have a question for you. George brought out these great pitchers. I think it was last week. And we didn't talk about them. One's behind you.
Behind
these
me?
The other side. Well, the other side, there's one.
Oh, right.
They were commissioned by, I'm almost positive, that's the same exact one. That's so sick. You guys got a copy of this.
Explain what that is. What is it?
That was Steve Wynn commissioned an artist down at the Golden Nugget to paint those beautiful paintings for the casino for years. He had one of those that's exact one that was on the wall at the Golden Nugget. By the way, it was not 10. It was 20 times the size of that. It was the whole wall was commissioned, a painting of them. There was like five or six of them. Same thing. But that's one of them. So I don't know. Where did you guys, don't tell me you got that at like a flea market or something, right?
No,
I'm
serious. I think my aunt got it it wasn't Ross. She goes on these exotic websites that, you know,
really
steal females' money.
We
all know about those. So I wouldn't know the exact website, but that's definitely an online purchase.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Really nice. Really nice.
You recognized that right away, didn't you, Bill?
Oh, I recognized it right away when I was in studio. And on the other side of you, of course, I don't know. Did you get that photo? Did he get that one also? Sinatra?
With Sinatra? Yeah, that's a classic.
Isn't that Sinatra when he was arrested, that photo?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he was booked. Yeah, he was booked there in that photo. Is that yours also, George?
What was that?
Did you also bring that one in?
Yeah.
The Sinatra one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a classic.
I may curse, but I bring culture.
Yeah.
You know?
Tell your aunt her stock goes way up bringing in those type of photos.
Yeah.
Buying those type of things. I mean, she can't be old. How does she even know to buy that kind of stuff?
She's 63.
Wait, what?
Oh, okay.
Aunt Odie is 63.
Is that your aunt?
Yeah.
Or is that your mom and dad's aunt?
No, that's my aunt.
Bill, you have to meet her. Mom. There's no way in the world she looks 63. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, she's the greatest.
Buddy, I thought she was my age.
No.
Oh, she's the absolute.
I literally
greatest,
thought she was my age.
Bringing them in.
I mean, that's Cuban jeans.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. The Cuban jeans are amazing.
And
I don't know what they're putting in the espresso over there.
Right?
Yeah.
Cuban jeans and I'm in jeans.
Wow. Okay, so tell me this. If I were to pick two teams right now that are going to play in the Super Bowl, the Baltimore Ravens is one of them, true or false?
I'd have to say true.
Really?
Yeah.
George?
Yeah.
True. I need it to happen.
Do you?
A lot of times
I need Lions and Ravens.
Wait. Like, you need Lions and Ravens. Oh, that's why you're so miserable. Now that's why he's cursing, Bill. Guy needs Lions Ravens.
In the Super Bowl, they're still going to make the playoffs. I'll pull up the ticket right now. It's my last little parting gift with Derek Stevens because Circa does have some of the hardest lines to beat, but that's where I put the Rangers bet in. 60-1.
Yep.
And now I got my final play that I may ever make at Circa. And it is a...
Wait, tap the screen because it's your screen. It's not loaded.
It's gone. It's gone.
It's blank. Quite a bet you've got.
Well, you know what?
El Blanco.
I'll put it up on the screen.
Okay.
It is Lions to defeat the Ravens at 19,001. I put $10 on it.
Meaning the Lions win the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Specifically against the Ravens.
$10 wins $1,900?
$10. Yeah. So I would win $1,900.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hope they get there so you can hedge at least.
Oh, you know? Yeah. No, this is definitely a hedge.
Wait, can I think I went in on that bet.
I think it's at 60-1 right now.
Really?
Yeah.
So you have it at 19-1? Or no,
1900-1.
1900-1. Yeah. Oh, and now it's 60.
Called 19,000 the way they were.
Right, plus 19,000, yeah. Right? Yeah. Why do they do that?
Yeah, it's so
to confuse people.
It is. There's a reason though. I'm not one of those math guys that are smart enough to tell you that.
Got it.
I got one story John, you know, we don't really usually get political on this show. Did I hear about Gavin Newsom has been named the U-Haul Employee of the Year. I love that. More people are moving out. Gavin Newsom. Yeah.
Congrats to him. Yeah.
Yeah, congrats to him. And I know that now. I heard California, the only state in the nation, the first one, anyone could just walk up and get benefits now. Doesn't matter if you're legal, illegal.
I know. It's crazy.
Unbelievable.
I think Gavin's won that award 2 years in a row, if I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure.
He might have.
Yeah. He may set some records that are never broken with that, you know?
Yeah. No. Yeah. John, you know, I wanted to re-explain something that I think I talked about on the show, but I said it the wrong way.
Okay.
So our buddy Paul.
Yeah.
Our buddy that owned the Jolly Trolley.
Yep.
And right next to Tony Spilotro's jewelry store. He had a story between two bookmakers that he bet. He made a bet between two different bookmakers. Monday came, he's going to collect the bet. And the one bookmaker bet, they bet $50,000 on Dallas with one and $50,000 on Philadelphia with the other. And he goes to collect the $50,000 off the guy that bet Dallas, collects it. And the guy that he bet Philadelphia with, he said, I bet Dallas with you. He goes, no, you bet Philly. He goes, just ask the other bookmaker who I bet with in town, the only other big bookmaker. Get him on the phone. See what I bet. You bet Dallas with me. Well, I wouldn't bet Philly with you. You're wrong. Give me my money. So it was the greatest. It's just a shot. It's your shot. And, you know, it's almost like the scene from Casino where he says, he walks in. He said, I thought you were laying it. You were taking it. And he hits him with the stack of money. Don't get cute on me. It was just the way someone like that would just scam money. Literally, instead of paying $55,000, he got $50,000, $105,000 score. But I said it wrong on a previous episode. So I just, these stories of these guys, he's the same guy that was on the golf course, never even really played golf. And yet they were having a Calcutta at a big tournament over at the, across from the Westgate there. It's a desert and golf course. And he goes up on the 18th hole and said, who's leading the tournament? We are, we're 19 under. All right, well, we're 20 under. So him and Herbie Blitzstein. Herbie Blitzstein and him are 20 under. Yes, you are. Yes, you're 20 under. You didn't want to mess with Herbie. He had his own cemetery. So anyway, it's a little fun.
I love it.
Relic old story that Paul told me. What else? I guess that really, that's my throat is going on me. I guess that's about it. I don't know. I heard someone say the other day in the poker game, I'll get a drink. And I'll actually get a little shot of vinegar, John. Just give me a little shot here just to get myself, my nasal passages open.
You're going to drink that right now.
I heard something in the poker game that I couldn't believe. Yeah, you guys will see how I do this. So you got to put water. You got to take water with it. All right.
You didn't even make a face.
No. I've been doing it for years. I actually like it.
But if I drank that, I would be like traumatized, right? Worse than NyQuil?
No, it's not that bad.
No?
It's not that bad.
I like vinegar. Do you like vinegar?
No.
Yeah, I like vinegar.
Who
like
likes vinegar? What is wrong with you guys?
As you could tell.
Wow. Oh, my God.
It's my favorite ingredient. Yeah. I'm not going
to
lie.
I like vinegar. The apple cider vinegar is actually okay to me. Bill, I know it's tough on a lot of people.
So what matchups are happening this week that you guys have your eye on? Anything?
All right. Hold on first. I want to talk about the poker room.
Oh,
sitting down at that poker table, where I probably don't blame the poker guys. I blame China still. Sitting down at that poker table, it was amazing hearing what I was hearing. People were in there watching the Dallas-Detroit game, and before the game started, I was just listening to the table and the other people around. There were so many reasons. Why I make money is because of these guys being a small sampling what the public does. Mm-hmm. I so much wanted to help them. Like they were talking about, there were some college games on and college bowls, and someone said, 56 points. You could tease that up to 63 and bet the under. There's no way they're scoring 63. I wanted to say, oh my God, I can't believe people think like this. And these are, these guys have thousands. I was playing the 40-80. These guys have a couple $1,000. These are thousands of dollars in front of them. Generally, you'd think some of them would be some astute guys or not just having fun, but people aren't. There's just different levels of people having fun. And I heard more things in that 5 hours about sports betting. It's amazing since the DraftKings, the FanDuels, the BetMGMs have come to this country, how they brought in all these people that never really bet sports before, and they all think they're geniuses and they know nothing. Now, listen, I'm not making fun of them. I knew nothing. It took me being around some of the sharpest gambling syndicates and the sharpest guys in the world. I just didn't know it was that bad out there. Teasing ridiculous numbers, not respecting the lines or the juice, just laying it, walking into the sports book and just betting whatever the line was there. And they're betting serious money, $1,000 a guy bet. He just bet because whatever the line was there. Like, there's just no, I realize it going out there. These sports books have no reason to cry. They're being given free money. One of the sharpest sports book owners told me one time, every dollar I get that gets sent to my company, $85 of every $100 I can go out and spend. So every $100, $85, I can go out and spend it because it's never being returned. And you realize that when you sit down with guys at a poker table that think they know how to sports bet. Imagine that, 85% of the people that send their money in never get a dollar back.
That's a crazy number. That's a real number?
It is. It is. And oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. From one of the largest sports books in the world. Let me just tell you. Yeah.
We sat at the bar last week over at Irv's Burgers. I would like your assessment of Irv's Burgers.
I thought it was a good burger. It was a good burger. You know, I'm not a fast food guy. As far as I don't go to In-N-Out Burger, only when my niece is here or my nieces are here or something, I'll bring them there. Or if it's just in a pinch. Imagine I'm in a pinch for food. Anyway, but yeah, so Irv's Burgers was good though. We had a good burger there, good fry. The fries were good. Burger was good. It's a thin burger and it's got good, you know, some good flavor to it.
Good flavor to it.
Yeah. I never had it. I never heard of it before.
Yeah, but it was good flavor to it. And I love the bun. The bun was good.
The bun was good.
Yeah.
But I like the pizza place next to it better. If I go back, I'm going for pizza.
Yeah?
So, yeah.
I like it. All right, gang.
Guys, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Hopefully we'll be. Are you in town next week, hopefully?
I'm in town.
All right, good. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks, guys.